Yum. Which? Manyate. She thinks. Patim. Her husband. Mohat. Due to illusion. Matmayam. My Maya. Rishabhav. In the form of a man. Ayatim. Coming. Stri Tvam. The state of being a woman. Stri Sangataha. From attachment to a woman. Praptaha. Obtained. Vita. Wealth. Apatya. Progeny. Guraha. House. Pradam. Bestowing. Translation, a living entity who as a result of attachment to a woman in his previous life has been endowed with the form of a woman, foolishly looks upon Maya in the form of a man, her husband, as the bestower of wealth, progeny, house, and other material assets. See? Nanda Gopal. So you can repeat, a living entity who is a result of attachment to a woman in his previous life, has been endowed with the form of a woman. Foolishly looks upon Maya in the form of a man, her husband, as the bestower of wealth, progeny, house, and other material assets. Okay. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki, Jai. From this verse, it appears that a woman is also supposed to have been a man in his, her, previous life. And due to his attachment to his wife, he now has the body of a woman. Bhagavad Gita confirms this. A man gets his next life's birth according to what he thinks of at the time of death. If someone is too attached to his wife, naturally he thinks of his wife at the time of death, and in his next life he takes the body of a woman. Similarly, if a woman thinks of her husband at the time of death, then naturally she gets the body of a man in the next life. In the Hindu scriptures, therefore, women's chastity and devotion to man is greatly emphasized. A woman's attachment to her husband may elevate her to the body of a man in her next life, but a man's attachment to a woman will degrade him. And in his next life, he will get the body of a woman. We should always remember, as it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, that both the gross and subtle material bodies are dresses. They are the shirt and coat of the living entity. To be either a woman or a man only involves one's bodily dress. The soul in nature is actually the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. Every living entity being classified as energy is supposed to be originally a woman, or one who is enjoyed. In the body of a man, there is a great opportunity to get out of the material clutches, but there is less opportunity in the body of a woman. In this verse, it is indicated that the body of a man should not be misused through forming an attachment to women and thus becoming too entangled in material enjoyment, which will result in getting the body of a woman in the next life. A woman is generally fond of household prosperity, ornaments, furniture, and dresses. She is satisfied when the husband supplies all these things sufficiently. The relationship between man and woman is very complicated, but the substance is that one who aspires to ascend to the transcendental stage of spiritual realization should be very careful in accepting the association of a woman. In the stage of Krishna consciousness, however, such restriction of association may be slackened, because if a man and woman's attachment is not to each other but to Krishna, then both of them are equally eligible to get out of the material entanglement and reach the abode of Krishna. As it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, anyone who seriously takes to Krishna consciousness, whether in the lower species of life or a woman, or of the less intelligent classes, such as the mercantile or laborer class, will go back home, back to Godhead, and reach the abode of Krishna. A man should not be attached to a woman, nor should a woman be attached to a man. Both man and woman should be attached to the service of the Lord. Then there is the possibility of liberation from material entanglement for both of them. So, yam manyate patim moham, man mayam shabayatim, stri tvam stri sangata prapto, vita patya graha pratam. So, om ganat mandasha, gananjana shlakaya chakshur unmeditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So this is actually quite an interesting purport and verse. We can comment a little bit on it before we go on to the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Actually, one point I wanted to make is that in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, it's stated that anyone, be they, and Prabhupada quotes this verse, you know, he gives a rough quotation of this verse here, whether someone's in the lowest species of life or a woman or a less intelligent class of tree sudra, dvijabandhunam, and such as mercantile laborer class will go back home, back to God. And oftentimes that verse is utilized by brahmacharis and men in the Krishna conscious movement to try to put the women in their place. You know, they're supposed to serve us. Anyway, so, of course, if one actually thinks like that, then he becomes entangled. If someone starts to think, that's what Prabhupada actually is indicating here. One starts to think he's Purusha, and he is possessing Prakriti, or woman, you know, understand, then that's a fallen condition, actually, that you're supposed to serve me because you're less intelligent. You look at this Bhagavad Gita. But if you analyze this Bhagavad Gita verse very closely, you'll see that, practically speaking, none of us men were born in the mercantile or laborer class. We were born in what class? Malecha class. So we were actually below that. You know, the men are very proud. You know, anyone who's is of lower birth, be they of woman, laborers, mercantile, or, you know, friends of the twice born. Dvija Bandhu means friends of the twice born. But hell, you know, I wasn't a friend of the twice born when I was born. You know, I wasn't a friend. I was probably an enemy of the twice born. You know, I was born in the lowest, literally in the lowest of ignorance in the religion that I was born in, you know, which we're celebrating Hanukkah today, was not exactly, you know, a very high religion. It was a lecher religion. So, therefore, the women get higher note, they get higher notice here in this verse than men do, at least I do. So we shouldn't use this to discriminate against women. Anyway, so the point is, like Prabhupada said, we've been quoting this the last few days, that Prabhupada said, for the men, women are women, and for the women, men are women. What does that mean? That means, you know, for the men, women are women, for the women, men are women. So that means that both are thinking they're Purusha. That's the real point. And they're thinking others are prakriti, or meant to be enjoyed. As soon as you think like that, whether you're a man or a woman, you're in a fallen condition. Because we're all prakriti. That means we're all ontological. That means our real nature is to be enjoyed. And that is to be enjoyed by Krishna. You know, Krishna's Vokaram Jagatapasam. Sarva Loka Maheshram Suvardam Sarva Bhutanam Yatva Mam Shantim Richati. That's how we can attain peace. 529, Bhagavad Gita. The understand that Krishna is the enjoyer. He's the friend, not our husband, not our wife. I mean, they may be good friends, you know, if they're devotees, but the real friend, ultimate friend, is Krishna and anyone who represents Krishna. That's the point. You know, the guru and those who are, you know, the husband can be a friend if he's representing Krishna, because Lord Vrishabhadeva says that no one should become husband, no one should become guru, no one should become the worshipful deity or father, isn't it? Without being capable of freeing their dependent from the cycle of birth and death. So those are real friends, Krishna and representatives of Krishna. And that can be the husband. It's not that only the guru is the representative. The husband can be supposed to be the representative. And actually, it's very interesting. There's many injunctions that apply in the Karma Kanja section of the Vedas that may not apply in Vaishnavism. Like in the Karma Kanja section of the Vedas, you know, it said that the woman should stay with a man no matter what, you know, if he, you know, if he's fallen, if he's this or that. But in Vaishnavism, we find the injunctions that if a husband has fallen, there's no injunction to stay with him. And Prabhupada quotes this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when he's talking about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's a daughter who is married to a moga. And we all know the story. Her name is Sati. I think so, yeah. And she's married to a moga, and a moga is not exactly the most, let's say, complimentary character in regard to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking prasadam in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and because he had this tendency to find fault, a moga was kept like at bay. You know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya kept a stick and tried to keep him outside of the house, and finally, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was inattentive, a moga came in and started watching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat, and he said, "This sannyasi is eating as much as 10 men," which is true. He was eating as much as 10 men at that particular juncture. But still, he said it in a non-complimentary way. That means an offensive way. So, and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya started running after him with a stick. And then at that point, after that point, he said, you know, my Sati doesn't have a husband anymore. Finished. So Prabhupada said in that regard, you know, that if a man is fallen, then there's no injunction that the woman has to stay with him, although she can stay with him to try to save him. That's another point. But there's no injunction that she's forced to stay with someone who's fallen. Whereas in the Vedic system, before you come to Vaishnavism, if she stays with him, I guess she can become a man in the next life, you know, something like that, which is beneficial, as mentioned here. Yeah, even if she's repulsion and attraction are the same thing, you know. Like Kamsa, he was Krishna conscious. You know, so she stays with, not if she's beaten. I mean, this is not, sometimes, you know, in Indian society, this is to excuse, you know, there's some of the injunctions here. You say, well, it doesn't matter if she's beaten or anything like that. She should just stay with him and keep quiet and keep her mouth shut, you know. Huh? You know, that's not Vedic society, that a woman should allow herself to be beaten or abused and she just keep quiet about it. So, but anyway, there's different injunctions. There are different injunctions for, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions here in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, for people in different situations. If someone's on the Karma Kanja path, there's a different injunction for someone on the Bhakti path. Like Prabhupada said, if a lady is Krishna conscious, then her association can be purified. And if a lady is not Krishna conscious, like Madonna, you know, and that's not her spiritual name, and she does wear saris sometimes. She did. She had a show with saris on. If you know, if a lady is not Krishna conscious, just looking at her, one gets contaminated, right? Or even mentioning her. Well, Madonna's a spiritual name, but anyway, you know who I'm talking about. But just like, huh? Talking to her, looking, even if you look at someone who's materialistically engaged, be they a man or a woman, you can get contaminated. Actually, it said if you look at someone you're supposed who's not Krishna conscious, the injunction is supposed to run to the Ganges immediately. Oh, you made up the stairs? Mazel tov. So, even looking at someone who is actually materially engaged, you know, a vikarmi, you're supposed to run to the Ganges without, you know, changing your clothes and jump in immediately. I mean, that's the injunction. Of course, if we followed that, we'd have to go around with little spritz bottles of Ganges water all the time. You know, the devotees distributing cookies, they'd have to go ch-ch-ch every time they open their eyes. But, yeah, she used to do that. Yeah, so anyway, there are different injunctions for different people. You know, there's the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas and the Jnana Kanda section of the Vedas and the Upasana Kanda section of the Vedas. Prabhupada mentions that, and there's different injunctions for different people at different sections of the Vedas. So if someone is not Krishna conscious, then a satsanga chage Vaishnava char. That's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, that we avoid their association. I mean, of course, we can ordinarily associate with them, you know, if you have some service, distributing prasad, something like that, or you have to work to make a living, that's understandable. But intimate association is what's mentioned. You know, revealing the mind and confidence and things like that, one has to be careful. And we've given the example many times before. Like, let's say, for example, I revealed my mind to my mother. I said, my mother, you know, I'm having some trouble controlling my tongue. And she would say, yeah, that's because you're in the Hare Krishna movement. Come home to me, baby, you know, and then you're... You know, obviously I'm not going to reveal my mind. I mean, I love my mother, and I see her every once in a while, but I'm not going to reveal my mind to her. I'd be in big trouble. Isn't it? So that's in reference to intimate association means revealing your heart or associating very closely with someone. So Lord Chaitanya says the first injunction for a Vaishnava is a satsanga chaga, a Vaishnava chara. Very easy. So that's the point. But if a woman is Krishna conscious, of course, you know, it's not that the brahmachari should associate intimately with women who are Krishna conscious either. But, you know, if a lady is Krishna conscious, she's given all respect, and Prabhupada said her association is actually purifying. And a man who's Krishna conscious, his association is purifying. Of course, there has to be, you know, separation between the sexes and caution and stuff like that. So this is a very, very important point to understand. Not that all you women should be thinking, I have to get attached to a man so I can become a man in my next life. Let me find some man to become attached to. I mean, become attached to Krishna. Become attached to Krishna, whether you're married or not. And then it's not that you become a man, because Krishna's a man, but you become an associate of Krishna. So one may apply this injunction, you know, at a place, saying, well, if I'm attached to Krishna, I'm going to become a man in the next life, because he's the supreme male. No, that doesn't apply when you're attached to Krishna. You become attached to Krishna, you become whatever you are, whatever your spiritual form is in the spiritual world. That's the point. Anyway, so no one should be mother or father or husband or wife until they are actually attached. That's the injunction, until they're actually attached to Krishna, can save those who are under their tutelage. Very, very important point. Okay, and then go on to the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. And let's see, another point is all you ladies should understand that previously you were attached to a man. That's how you got to be ladies. So, I mean, that's, and probably most of us men, I mean, you were men previously attached to women, and most of us men were probably women who were attached to men. So, you're going to just that, Nanda Gopal. So, you know, that's just life, you know. And I actually, as you mentioned, sometimes the man becomes the woman becomes the man, and they switch, and they keep getting married life after life. And this is their eternal love. So, haven't I met you somewhere before? You know? Yeah, but you were the wife of last life, honey, you know. So anyway, these are the tricks of nature. Sometimes people take birth in the same place. I mean, but sometimes they don't have the same karma, so they can't become husband and wife. Sometimes a man may become a cobbler, like Prabhupada told that story, a cobbler in the same village as his family. He didn't have good enough karma to take birth in his family. So he became a cobbler in the same village, and his family beat him with shoes. So that happens too, you know. There's all sorts of tricks of this, like attachment. Yam yam vapi smaram vavam yashate yanti karevaram. There's all sorts of tricks of that, you know, whatever you're attached to, that's what you become. But it also depends on your karma. There's two things. It depends. You're attached to something, but it also depends on what sort of karma, good karma, bad karma. That depends on how that attachment is fulfilled. Just like if I'm attached, let's say I'm very, very attached to being in charge of something, and I have good karma, then I maybe I'd be a king in the next life. I'll be a king, or maybe I'll be Barack Obama or something in my next life. And if I'm very attached to controlling and being in charge, and I have real bad karma, maybe I'll be a queen bee in my next life. I'm in charge of the hive, you know. You know, just the desire is the same to be, you know, in control, be the big cheese, but it's fulfilled differently according to your karma. There's two things that determine our next birth in the karmic realm. One is the desire, and the other one is the karma. It's just like, I give the example many times, as when you're purchasing a car, two things determine what type of car you're going to buy, your money and your desire. So the money is the karma, desire is the desire in this particular metaphor. Okay? So let's get on to the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, which we're having a course on this month. So we're talking about Bhagavan realization. Bhagavan realization, of course, there's three aspects of the realization of the absolute truth, Paramat iti, Bhagavan iti shabjate, Vedanti tat tatva vidas. That means the Brahman, the energy of the Lord, the localized representative of the Lord, the Paramatma, and finally Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita that there are actually four types of realization of Bhagavan. There's realization that's dominated by karma, realization dominated by jnana, realization dominated by both karma and jnana, and pure realization. That is, so dependent upon your motivation when approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when these three types of realization, says those who will perform bhakti under the influence of both karma and jnana receive a realization of the Lord influenced by both. When these types of people, the three types of people who are influenced by jnana and karma, or one of the two of them, become liberated from material bondage, their realization is apparent in the form of the Lord that manifests before them. That is, they are worshiping, or they realize a form that is regarded with reverence. In other words, it's not intimacy. They are like attendants of the Lord who live on the same planet. They attain similar opulence and live near the Lord. These are the different types of mukti. Like we know, Sarupya, Salokya, Sarashti, like this. Of course, the devotee doesn't accept Sayuja Mukti, which is merging in the existence of the Lord. But he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, those who practice Raghunuga Bhakti during the period of sadhana realize the purest form of the Lord. And we mentioned before, it's not that we should jump up to Raghunuga Bhakti, but we should aspire for that stage of Raghunuga Bhakti. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur states further, there's two types of realization of the Lord. One is the realization of the majestic form, which is called Mahima Jnana Rupa, and the realization of his pure form that is untouched by perception of majesty, known as Kevala Jnana Rupa. That means only attached to the form of the Lord. So those who... This is interesting. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha, who are endowed with the realization of the Lord in pure majesty, see the form of Sri Narayan, the Supreme Lord of all the unlimited universes, whereas those endowed with the vision of the majestic Lord mixed with pure knowledge see the Lord as the Lord of Mathura and Dwarka, and those endowed with pure realization see Krishna as the Lord of Braja. See, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur indicates not only at the time of sadhana are these differences perceived, they persist in the spiritual world eternally. So when actually the form of your sadhana determines your ultimate realization, which is really interesting. Let's see what else we can touch on. I don't know if we have time for everything. Okay. There are three areas of realization of the Lord. There's realization of his form, realization of his energies, and realization of his activities. Of course, the form is the rupa, energies are the shaktis, and activities or sometimes called karma, but karma in the sense of Krishna karma. The eternal form of the Lord is called the Svarupa. The qualities of that form are Aishvarya, Virya, Yasha, Shri, Jnana, and Vairagya. So I'll explain what that means. Aishvarya means opulence, Virya means heroism, Yasha means fame, Shri means beauty, Jnana means knowledge, Vairagya means renunciation. So these are actually the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the material world, we find a difference between the object and its qualities, but in the transcendental form of the Lord, there's no difference between the quality and the person. Those who do not accept the eternal form of the Lord cannot maintain bhakti for very long. Let's see, I'm going to skip ahead here. People who reject the material world but cannot conceive of a superior realm imagine an existence that is nirvishesha, that means without distinction. And actually, as we know, in Srila Prabhupada's prayer, we pray nirvishesha shunyavadi paschacha deja tarni, that we offer our respects to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has come to the Western world serving His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the Western world, which is full of impersonalism and voidism. So this nirvishesha means that the ultimate realization has no distinctions, in other words, impersonal. So they think, this is actually quite interesting, I was thinking about this the other day, the mental speculators posit that the spiritual realm is the exact opposite of the material realm. And this is not, there's no logic or there's no statement that this is true. It's not the exact opposite of the spiritual realm. The material realm and the spiritual realm are related in that the material realm is a perverted reflection of the spiritual realm. Not that it's opposite in all respects. Everybody understands that? That's an important thing. So in other words, those who are impersonalists or Mayavadis say that because in the material world there's form, qualities, distinctions, images, etc., then the spiritual world there must be no form, images, etc., or anything in the spiritual world. So this is actually not logical. To simply posit that the spiritual world is devoid of everything that we see in this material world because it's the opposite of the material world. It's not the opposite, nor is the material world the opposite of the spiritual world. It's a perverted reflection. Now, we understand it's upside down. I mean, just like the example given in the Bhagavad Gita is that the material world is described as like a banyan tree or reflection of a banyan tree on the bank of the river. It's upside down, but it's not the opposite. A mirror image of something is backwards, but it's not the opposite. You understand? It's not the opposite. Because if it was a mirror image, it was going to be the opposite, would have no image. I mean, that's like Kamsa, isn't he? He looked in the mirror, didn't see any reflection. Can you imagine you go up to, the mirror is the opposite, you go up to the mirror and you don't see any reflection, you know you're going to die that day if that happens. So the spiritual world, yeah, the spiritual world has everything we have. Everything that we have here must be possessed in the origin of everything we have, which is Krishna and ultimately the spiritual world. And just like that's the second verse of the Vedanta Sutra that we mentioned before, Jamadyasya Yataha. The absolute truth is that or he who everything comes from. A really important verse. Everything comes from the absolute truth. The Mayavadis can't deal with that particular verse of the Vedanta Sutra. I mean, it bewilders them. Because they say that the absolute truth has no variety, so how can everything come from something that has no variety? It doesn't make sense. They posit, or they say that the thing that has no variety, the undifferentiated absolute truth, was acted upon by illusion, and therefore that's why we see variety. So then you ask them, we mentioned this before, but it bears mentioning again. If you ask them, therefore, is illusion real? They can't answer that question. And sometimes they say, well, it's neither real nor unreal. That's what the Buddha, that's actually what the Buddhists say too, you know. If you ask a Buddhist, it means all these statements. Do we exist? We neither exist nor don't exist. You ever hear a Buddhist say that? I mean, it's really interesting. They have all these statements. We need, or they say that question, that question, there's no answer to it, or you can't answer it. The question's irrelevant. That means they can't answer it. Anyway, so the Mayavadis have many different ways of dealing with this Janma Jasha Yataha in their commentary. Shankaracharya has many different ways of dealing with it, but the second verse of the Vedanta Sutra literally contradicts the whole Mayavadi philosophy. Because the absolute truth is he who from everything comes. Obviously. Anyway, so when you realize, upon realization the Lord possesses unlimited energies, all the doubts of ourselves, that is, the living entities, exist. All the Lord's energies are inconceivable, beyond reasoning, and immeasurable. Let's see. Okay, now it talks about the Lord's different energies. The chit influence of the Lord's energy manifests the Lord's self, forms, places, pastimes, and all the accompanied objects. And here's the different energies of the Lord. The Jiva Shakti, this is the chit Shakti first, the Jiva Shakti manifests the infinite number of liberated and conditioned souls, that's us, situated in spiritual and eternal time. The Maya Shakti, that's this material energy, manifests the infinite number of universes as temporary dwelling places for the conditioned soul. Then there's the Sundani portion of Krishna's energy. Whoops. It's always too short. I mean, just when I get started. Okay. On that note, we offer our obeisances unto His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.